We've been studying the discourse of Jesus as he is giving answer to the Jews, the religious leaders of his day, who have remonstrated him for two things. First of all, he healed a man on the Sabbath day, and they said that broke the law, and he shouldn't have done that. And as he answered that accusation, he equated himself with the Father, for he said, I'm just doing the same work the Father does. That infuriated them more and angered them more. And then he went on to describe that his ministry was to obey his heavenly Father and to do what his Father had shown him to do. He said, I don't do anything of myself, but what I see the Father do, that I do. And then he went on to tell them that they hadn't seen anything yet, that the time was coming, that they were going to see greater, far greater miracles. And if they were amazed now, just follow him for around a while longer, and they would be, they'd have their mind blown, so to speak. And then in the 21st verse, I want to just go back to that one. Jesus said, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And we're going to see that Jesus is talking here in one phrase. He is describing both a physical manifestation of the power of God and a spiritual manifestation of the power of God in the raising of the dead. We're going to see that in our lesson this morning. I believe we'll get along that far. And then he described how his Father had committed unto him all judgment because he was the Son of Man, and also because he did not seek his own will, but he sought the will of his Father. And for those two reasons, he was worthy of obtaining the responsibility to judge all men. All right, now we start this morning in the 25th verse. Jesus continuing, let me have someone read for us, please, the 25th and 26th verses. Okay, Susan?
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself.
Okay, thank you, Susan. All right, now, what kind of a raising from the dead is he referring to here, and how do you know? Okay, all right, how can we tell for sure that he's talking about a spiritual resurrection there and not just not a physical one? All right, but there's something in the scripture itself that shows us. Mark?
He says the hour now is.
Now is. That's the critical word there. He said the hour is coming, but it now is. The words now is are the key words there that show you that right now at this present time, it is already happening. Now, the people have not risen from the dead physically yet. And so he must be talking here about a spiritual resurrection, as Ron says. The hour is coming, but it is already here, the now is, where the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, did everyone who simply heard the sound of Jesus' voice, did they all live? No, they did not. Those who he was talking with, most of them were not being raised from the spiritual dead, were they? They were dead in their sins and trespasses, and as they heard the words that Jesus spoke, life rose up in the place of death. All right? Now, the word hear then means something more than just having been the recipient of the sound, doesn't it? What would you imagine the word hear would mean?
Receive.
All right, to receive it, okay? To believe it, to act upon it, to understand it sufficiently to cause you to move on it. Not just to hear it. Jesus said over and over again, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, everybody I'm talking to is not going to benefit by what I'm saying. If you have ears to hear, if you will understand, if you will really, you've heard the phrase, you hear me, but you're not listening. You've had that happen to your children, haven't you? They hear you, but they're not listening because it doesn't make a difference that you have spoken. It's the same with these things. There are hundreds of thousands of millions of people who have heard the words of Jesus, but it did not profit them because it was not mixed with any faith. They didn't act upon it. They didn't understand it. They were listening only with this, and they weren't listening with this. They were listening with their heads, and they weren't listening with their hearts, and it made no difference what he said. Follow that? All right. Now Susan shared here, they that hear shall live. What scripture does that remind you of? They that hear shall live. There's a scripture over in the book of Romans that ought to be triggered.
The scripture come back to me, it's for faith of by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
That's exactly the one I'm looking for, brother. Romans what?
10:17.
Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus did not say here that just because I'm present, these people are going to live, but because I am speaking forth a faith-producing word. And as my words go forth, people are going to listen to those words, faith is going to rise up in their heart, and they're going to be resurrected from the dead that they have been. They've been dead in sin and trespasses. They're now going to be made new. They're going to have a brand new birth. Hear my word and live. Now, if you hold your finger there and go to John 6, verse 63, I want to show you something. We're going to get to this, of course, as we go chronologically through the book of John. But right now, I believe it's appropriate for us to refer to this verse. Verse number 63, Jesus said these words. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. What does the word quicken mean?
Make
alive. That's what he's talking about over in chapter 5, isn't it? About quickening the dead, making them alive. What is it that causes this life-giving force? The Spirit of God that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. There is life in the Word of God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are one. They work together. And when the Word of God goes forth, the Spirit of God is present to bring life in place of death. The power is in the Word of God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, talking about Jesus here, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Not the power of his word, but the word of his power. The word of God is the power of God. This is why it is so essential for us in our churches to be teaching and preaching the word of God. Not the opinions of men. The opinions of men will cause men to remain dead. They can be very religious, but religiously dead. It's the Word of God that brings life. In fact, wasn't Jesus the Word of God made flesh? Everything he was the Word of God. It was the Word of God, not just as he spoke it, but also as he lived it. He was and is the Word of God in a fleshly form. And everything that came from his mouth was life-giving. He spoke over, we're going to see this, we get over into John 11. There was a dead man who had been 4 days in the grave, and he was stinking. What did Jesus do to him? Did he touch him with his hands and transmit some kind of electricity into his body? What did he do? He said, Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden, this man came out all wrapped up in bandages and grave cloths and so on. Why? Because there was life in his words. There was power in his words. When he spoke his words, there was spirit. It was spirit. It was eternal life in his words. And when he spoke the command, Lazarus' body had to respond to that. He went into the house of Jairus, the synagogue, the ruler of the synagogue. And he reached down to the girl, his daughter, his 12-year-old daughter, and he said, he spoke to her, and he said, Damsel, I say unto thee,
arise.
Hallelujah. And she did. Those are examples of the power of God in a way, in the words of Jesus, in a way that we can understand, see, in a natural way. The same kind of ability exists in his words to bring spiritual life where there has been spiritual death. Jesus said, I'm going to speak my words, and those that hear my words, if they'll listen to them, they will produce life in place of death on the inside, eternal life. Charles?
I can't help but think this, that the same word that spoke this world in existence that created Adam, it, in a way, it's the same thing that happened to us.
Yes, it is exactly the same. The word of God is a creative force and a creative power. Now let's look at Romans chapter 10, and let's draw some other scriptures here together. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. Now we quote frequently verses 9 and 10, where it describes how a man is saved by confessing with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believing in his heart that God raised him from the dead and that he's presently alive. He's no longer dead. The Bible says that that will cause a man to be saved. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then Paul goes on in the 14th verse to ask a question, a very important question. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they going to call on Jesus if in their heart they don't believe that he has the power to save them? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? All right, here you see is the power of the word of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For as Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? In other words, just because the word goes forth, the power is in the word, but we must listen to it, believe it, receive it, and act upon it in order to make it prosperous for us. And then verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now literally, beloved, there is faith producing power in all words. All words are spiritual forces, not just the words of God. All words are spiritual forces. Negative words are just as powerful as positive words. The devil's words are just as powerful as God's words in producing what the devil wants produced as opposed to what God wants produced. Faith comes by hearing, and what you hear is what you're going to believe. If you are constantly feeding yourself negative, depressing kinds of words, if you spend all of your time in front of the television set listening to all of that negative stuff that comes, and if you begin to exercise faith in that, if you begin to act upon that, around your office, everybody is catching cold. Oh, just that time of year now. We're all catching it. I'm going to get it too. You begin to hear people coughing and hacking around you, and what medication are you taking, and what medication are you taking, and what works for you, and what works. Well, it hadn't hit me yet, but I'm sure it will probably by the weekend, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you fill yourself with that kind of stuff. You will begin to believe it, and the first thing you know, you'll have it. If you believe that you're not good enough for God to save you, you won't get saved. I tell you, there are lots of people in lots of churches who are not saved because they can't believe that God would love them enough to save them. They're so concerned about their unworthiness. Of course we're unworthy. There aren't any of us worthy. Jesus died for the unworthy, praise God. But if we're constantly confronted with the fact of our imperfections, and yes, we're imperfect. Of course we are. But if we're meditating on those things all the time and constantly thinking and hearing negative things, it just beats us down and beats us down and beats us down and beats us down. Now, those of you who, there are some of you who I'm sure know families where the children are constantly beaten down by the words of their parents. No good. Never be any good. Don't understand how you've made it this long. Moron, idiot, dummy, stupid, a lunkhead, turkey. I tell you, if a child hears that kind of language when he gets this big, if he ever does come to Jesus, his pastor is going to have a basket case on his hands until he finally gets his attitude turned around and gets his mindset turned around. See? Because he'll believe those words. But you see, if our children are taught, you're the heritage of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus died for you to make you whole. And children begin to develop a sense of self-worth. And they begin to see that they are worth something. That God Almighty became flesh and came and died for them because they were that important to Him. It just makes a tremendous difference in how they respond to life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Words, we are believers in the words that we fill ourselves with. Mary?
Courtney came to me last week with an example of that. And there was a difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. She was inquiring about that. She thought we had a ghost walking around our house. She, she did not realize that they were the same thing. And I mean, she laid in bed and I said, was there a ghost? And it was just, some kids down the street call it the Holy Ghost, and we usually refer it to the Holy Spirit. And I grew up with the Holy Ghost, not the Holy Spirit, as far as terminology went. And I wondered, had they caught that in school, but it was some kids down the street, and the daddy was saying there isn't a Holy, something about not Holy Spirit, but there's a Holy Ghost. And so she thought that they were floating around our house.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, just one little word.
Yes.
She knows enough that ghosts are spooky and all that,
uh-huh.
That's what she thinks. And just that one word,
mm-hmm.
really threw her for a loop.
Yes. Yeah. Faith comes by what we listen to. And we can either have faith in what God said or faith in what the devil said, depending on what we put in. Jesus said, I've got some power-filled words to say to you. And if you'll listen to them, you can be no longer dead on the inside, but you can be alive. My words have the power in them to make you alive. You say, Pastor, I don't understand that. Well, if I understood it, I'd already been dead and gone to heaven. But I have obtained it, and I can guarantee to you that it works. Now, you don't have to understand everything there is to know about it. Comprehend enough of what I'm saying to act upon it and say, well, I just simply receive it, and I just believe it. You can have the same benefit. Joe?
It's just this little saying coming to my mind, and how the devil, even when we're kids, they're saying that sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me. And that's not true.
That's not true at all.
I don't know why that just hit me. It's so untrue. And we go around the children, teaching children, I don't, but I mean, I was taught, my mother taught me that. Just remember, it can't hurt you, but it does.
It does. Sticks and stones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The bruises on the body are much quicker healed than the bruises that come on the inside of us.
Mm-hmm. James says that sets the whole course of nature on fire.
Exactly.
In the words. And the devil is, everything he has to say is opposite of what God has to say, and we're the ones that's saying it.
Right.
What he's got to say.
And James did say that the devil wants your tongue, doesn't he? It's the devil who's after your tongue, because if he, you see, the most powerful words in your life are your own. There's something, I don't quite understand this completely, but your words have more influence with you than anybody else's words do. Who do you enjoy hearing talk most?
Yourself.
I mean, we want to listen to ourselves talk because, after all, we have so much wisdom, don't we? Huh? We like to hear each other. Who are the people that you like the most? The ones who talk the most or the ones who listen the best? We like listeners. I tell you, if you want to be a good friend, you just learn how to be a good listener. See, it works. People like to hear themselves talk. There's just great enjoyment in hearing your own voice. Faith is produced by hearing your own voice. You've heard me say, when I'd be ministering to somebody, either having them pray the sinner's prayer or praying with them to receive the Holy Ghost, and you'll hear me say, speak loud enough so that you can hear yourself. That's the reason for that. Speak loud enough so that you can hear your own voice, because there is more faith-producing power in your own voice than there is in anybody else's voice. When you hear yourself say it, you just believe it. If you say, oh, I'm no good, you'll believe that. You will believe it faster than if I say it about you. You understand what I'm saying? If you also say, hey, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, you'll believe that a whole lot quicker than you will if I say to you, you're the righteousness of God in Christ. And so it's very important that we watch this tongue here and that we're careful about it. And don't let the devil have a hold of it to condemn us with it, but rather fill it with the Word of God. Instead of confessing, oh, I'll never find it. Oh, it'll just never come up. Yeah. Well, that's the way we're trained. We're trained that way from the beginning. And the devil loves for us to talk that way because when he does, he can rule us with our tongue. It's like, pardon?
That's a little.
Right.
I know it's forbidden.
It's like Brother Mike was saying this morning that the tongue is like a rudder on a ship. The tongue is for us like a rudder on a ship. And whichever way your tongue goes, that's the way your ship goes. And if your tongue goes towards the promises of God, then your life will go towards the promises of God. But if your tongue is constantly going after that which is negative and that which is wrong, God knows there's plenty wrong. I mean, you know, the Lord knows that, but we don't have to be talking about it all the time. There are lots of good things going on too, isn't it? Philippians 4:8 says that whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are worthy of praise, if there's virtue in anything, speak and think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I mean, that's where it comes from. Right?
Proverbs 18:20-21 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Yes.
The fruit that we produce for our mouth is the fruit that is born.
What we're going to eat. That's right. It's like a seed we plant every day, and tomorrow we're eating it, and the next day we're eating it. There's another verse in the Proverbs, I forget what chapter it is, I think it's the 15th, that says, a man shall have joy by the answer of his mouth. I like that scripture. I need to memorize exactly where it is. A man shall have joy by the answer of his mouth. And so what you're speaking with your mouth is going to determine what kind of joy you're going to have, if any. Steve?
In Mark 11:23, our great faith verse, that works in the inverse also. A man shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith.
That's right. And we do have what we say. If we say our family is falling apart, you can just stand on the sidelines and watch it fall apart, because it'll surely fall apart. If we declare that our company is going out of business and I'm going to be out of a job, then you can just make book on the fact. You understand, make book? not the kind of thing you want to be doing, though, is it? You can make book on the fact that your company is going out of business and you're going to be out of a job. I mean, that's just the way it works. We're going to have what we speak. Brother?
That how much effect it has.
Oh, yes. Yes. Surround yourself with positive people. Surround yourself with people who believe the Word of God, speak the Word of God, and act upon His promises. Surround yourself with those kind of, and negative speaking people. And now if you're married to one, you don't have much choice. But if you're not married to them, flee those negative speaking people and surround yourself with people who will reinforce your faith. And if you are married to someone who's filled with negative speaking, then you surround her. See? Or surround him. You have to fill your house with the glory of God and just speak forth the word. You don't have to be preachy, but you just speak forth the promises of God. You just overcome that thing with good. Overcome evil with good. I saw a hand over here. Jane? Yeah. And this is, this is so important in the raising of our children. It's one of the things that make it so important that we have the school that we have, because we have our children. We do the best we can with our kids in the home, but then we send them off to the world where they speak this negative stuff all the time, and you're constantly battling it if you have these contrary influences. Okay, let's go on here then, can we? So we see Jesus says the power of life is in my words. The power for a man to be saved, to have a new life, to come from death to life, is in my words. Those that will hear me will live. Now, if you can extrapolate that, I believe you can understand. If you will hear the words of Jesus about the new birth, you can have salvation from your sins and you can live. If you will hear the words of Jesus about healing, you can be free from your sickness and you can have health. If you will hear the words of Jesus, believe them, receive them, and act on them concerning having our needs met. If Jesus had anything to say about that, if we will listen to those words, we can have life in that area instead of death. Does that make sense to you? So this is not just being born again. This is every benefit that He has come to provide us. All of the things that He redeemed us from become manifest to us and real in our lives as we hear His word on them. This answers the question, why is it in so many of our churches that we see people getting saved, but we don't see them getting healed? The reason is, the preaching in that church is on salvation. That's the word the people are hearing. They're acting on that and believing that, and they're being saved. If in the same church the word of healing was preached, if the words of Jesus on health and healing were preached, people in that congregation, that same church, would begin to get healed. If in that same church the words of Jesus on the ministry of the Holy Ghost were preached and listened to and heard, what would happen in that church? People will start getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is why sometimes we look at a church that preaches just the word on the new birth and doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, even preaches against it. Doesn't believe in healing, preaches against it. Doesn't believe in prosperity, preaches against it. And we sit there and we ask the Lord, we say, Lord, how can you honor that when it's so contrary to your word? How can you honor the fact that that pastor stands in the pulpit and despises the gift of the Holy Ghost? How can people get saved in that church? Because God will always honor His word. And if they're preaching the word on the new birth, people will get saved. That's the way it works. It's that simple. God will honor as much of His word as we believe and as we act upon. And you can have this much of it, you can have this much of it. Full gospel does not mean tongues.
Amen.
See? Full gospel means all of the good news. Now, tongues certainly seems to be a central aspect of that, because it is the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes in His fullness, it just opens up so much for us in the realm of the kingdom of God. But full gospel doesn't mean tongues. Full gospel means the fullness of the good news. That means healing. It means prosperity. It means the blessings of God. It means peace. It means rest. It means joy. It means power. It means an attitude towards life which is anticipating the benefits of God and not always looking under rocks for trouble. That's part of the full gospel. Do you understand that? All right, let's see here. We've got... We've got a couple of minutes. Let's go on down through here. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given the Son to have life in Himself. And we found out that where was the life that was in Jesus? How was that life manifested? By His words. As He spoke forth the word, that's where the life was. And hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Now, we talked about that some last week, and so let's go on to the next two verses. Marvel not at this. Don't be amazed at what I'm telling you. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, what kind of resurrection is He talking about here? He's talking about the physical resurrection that will take place at the last day. He said, don't marvel or be amazed at what I've just tried to describe to you about a spiritual rebirth. For there's a day coming that all physical bodies are going to be resurrected from the dead. The Son of Man will speak forth His word, His voice, and when He does, every body that is dead will be raised from the dead. Those that have in this life received eternal life, they will be raised to enjoy the fullness of the blessings of God for eternity. But those that have done evil will be have a resurrection body and then be sent to the lake of fire and brimstone forever. And this would be the great white throne judgment of the book of Revelation described here. When people die, when they go into the grave, every body that's in the grave, every body that's in the bottom of the sea, every body that has been completely destroyed will be remade. in the last day. And when that takes place, every person will have an eternal body. Not just the righteous, but also the damned will have an eternal body. A body in which to spend eternity. What kind of a body will it be? It will be a body like Jesus had when he was raised from the dead. Read the Gospels and see what Jesus' body was like when he was resurrected. And then you'll know what kind of a body you're going to have and what kind of body also the lost will have. Those that are saved are going to spend eternity with God. Those that are lost are going to spend eternity in torment in a resurrected body. I want you to understand that. We believe in the resurrection of the just and the unjust. Every body will be remade by the power of God.